and that's the previous graphic though. And we're live.
We are live.
Happy for episode, Friday.
Happy Friday. Episode 164 of Live at the High Digital, Digital Marketing from the Trenches. I am your host, Dan Nedelko, and I have to go get my phone. One sec. Go ahead and introduce.
All good. Matt Stefanich, and this week we have
Matej Cherlenko, your graphic designer.
Right and on. Yep, absolutely, absolutely. All so right. Yeah, it's been a great week here over at the Hive. Just kind of a little busy week for sure, but a great week nonetheless. We actually added a B this week as well, so lots moving into the Hive this week.
That's absolutely right. We'll have to have May welcome. We'll have to have her on Live at the Hive when she gets a little bit settled, going through her onboarding.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Awesome. So today, in honor of Matej, today we are talking about how to create a visual content marketing strategy. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things, just to tee this up, is we often hear and talk about content marketing strategy and what am I going to do and how am I going to do it? Mm-hmm. And I know that people are lumping in visuals and video and all of that, but I think it's important to define, especially in the age of social media, a specific visual content marketing strategy that's tied to the correct platform to give the correct message and to appeal to the audience in a way that will hopefully engage and resonate with them. So it's kind of it's a lot to unpack, but I think it's a good topic to
Absolutely, yeah, and Matej works with the bees throughout the slide to make sure that he put in his points and his ideas. So, without further ado, Matej, I'll let you kind of just introduce us towards the topic in the first few slides here.
Yeah, for sure. So, we're gonna take a deep dive in creating a visual content marketing strategy and ways that you can do this. So we're going to be diving into visuals because they're a crucial part of the marketing campaign. And like they say, I know it's cheesy, a picture is worth a thousand words and more. They can speak volumes without raising a single word, having a certain graphic that goes with your brand. And they're also the process at a higher level, and they produce much faster and stronger reactions in people, because people do. Average facts state that people spend about 15 seconds looking at one before they decide if they want to click on that ad or not. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is based on the graphics too. So we'll take a dive into that. Why you need a visual content marketing strategy too. We'll be defining your visual content marketing strategy as well, and your brand guidelines, which are very important. We'll dive into that. Also defining your KPIs, which is very, very important. We'll take a deep dive in that. Also the best practices, and also some great examples that we have for you guys.
Yeah, there's tons of campaigns that we worked on, and a lot of the times, you know, as marketers, with written content and things like that, sometimes you're too focused on the written content, and you kind of put the visuals kind of aside, and that's when we kind of get, you know,
cheesy stock photography.
Yep, cheesy stock photography. We get videos that maybe shouldn't be in. But, you know, it's really important. And we've actually run some recent campaigns on Facebook, actually, that use this kind of method. And I think we got, some of the bees that we're working on got, over 1 million impressions or something like that. It was it was pretty crazy. So yeah, we have some good stuff to talk through. And I think a lot of times as people ask the question, you know, why do they need this visual marketing strategy? What's the benefit for my business? Why would I spend the time and create these visuals? And what would you say to that, Matej?
Well, it gets you a lot more views. It gets you a lot more likes, shares, and retweets. And it also puts a little bit of a generic example. I know ugly logo and everything, Starbucks, but they have a huge following primarily because of that culture that they give off with their graphics. And everything that they advertise. And also your engagement rate will go higher when you start incorporating all this visual content as well. And also, again, the stats that 50% of users, they view a page, they spend less than 15 seconds looking at it. So I'd say your graphics should be bang on.
For sure. And I think the other thing to keep in mind here and to really keep top of mind is that Well, a couple of key points. Number one, your visual content strategy has to appeal to your audience. Exactly. So, for example, new mothers may have a completely different sense of what they see as that's going to attract them, that visual quality, versus a 65-year-old man. Right. Mm-hmm. Or certain, you know, certain personas. So you got to you do have to kind of play to your audience properly in your strategy. And then the second point, just from a high level strategic point, and, you know, this is where I think especially social media has really changed the definition of brand guidelines and what that actually means. Mm-hmm. You know, actually, you know, there was a really great example. We can pull it up a little bit later, but Burger King just went through a brand redesign that took them back to the pre-90s. Okay. And it was actually really brilliantly done from a design perspective. It caused a lot of conversation. Matei, I don't know if you saw any of that, but
I did see it. Yeah, and it's also, some say it's a reaction to, I know a lot of you know, Burger's Priest has a new location in Waterloo.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It was also a reaction to that. They see competition coming into the field. So they're like, what can we do to revamp ourselves? And it's like, obviously the way you look.
Well, yeah, there's that. But so if you're not following, his name is Farrah Machado. And mm-hmm. he is, he is the, I believe, I don't want to misspeak here. Let me just pull it up. Now, if you're on Twitter, there he is. Yeah, he's the global chief marketing officer at RBI, so Burger King, Popeyes, Tim Hortons, and stuff. And he actually goes into quite a bit of depth mm-hmm. on the Burger King rebrand and what their thoughts were. And there's a whole bunch of history background and you know why they did this. I don't want to get stuck on this particular topic, mm-hmm. but taking into account each of the channels as well and how you play on that channel for your brand, but whether you're mm-hmm. big or small, it doesn't really matter. I think you've got to take that into account. And what is you visually, how will you appear on Twitter versus Instagram versus TikTok versus Facebook, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a new dynamic, right? I Matei, I don't think that they taught you that, did they? In your
they did teach that. But when I was in school, it was still pretty print focused. People were still a little iffy about digital marketing. And then as soon as I graduated, boom, there was another explosion. Digital marketing is a new thing. And it took off again, which was lucky for me. But but yeah, definitely. I can definitely see a change in it.
Cool. Yeah, for sure. And I think sometimes, you know, a lot of companies, they don't want to step out of like their comfort zone a lot with these designs and stuff. Exactly. And I know, you know, sometimes even at the Hive, I know when you first came on, you really took the charge and kind of creating some templates and things like that for social that we didn't have before. And even there, it's kind of evolved kind of the natural branding that Honeypot has, right? And I think that's important. I think that's important to have kind of a fluid brand that can evolve, right?
People kind of, let's rewind 5 years. People did use them as guidelines, but a lot of people are starting to change it to brand rules because it does it does help. It does really help. You see it a lot. If you look at brand guidelines now, you don't see guidelines that much anymore. You see brand rules, and I think it's something you should definitely look into adapting as well.
Because
following your brand rules is a really, really great way to start a strategy.
Yeah. And kind of as we move on to, we're also going to be discussing, you know, obviously the right way to do it. And you'll be giving us some tips, but also we'll be discussing some ways that I think a lot of people get caught up in and they kind of want to kind of either do a rush job or they don't really understand the strategy behind it. Right. Exactly. And we do have a little quote here, you know, people following directions with text and illustrations do 323% better than people following direction without illustration. And I think that speaks a lot because, you know, a lot of the times when we're creating this content too, I know I was actually doing it this week where, you know, I was writing a blog for a client and I was leaving some space in there for you guys for, you know, doing your own infographics that can complement the blog and things like that, showing some brackets and stuff. And I think that's really important from a content marketer perspective.
For sure. Yes. Oh, yeah, and if you move it forward, there are multiple strategies you can implement. And if you move forward to the next slide, one of them is doing research to see how and where to share your visual content, because your brand will fit into some sort of segment in the huge social platform world. Yeah. And also really being strategic with your audience is really great as well. Also taking to account the different types of visual content. When you post something on Twitter, you can have a total different reaction, say if you post it on Instagram, total different audience. You have to take that into account. Mm-hmm. Like the long form, horizontally oriented videos, for example, on YouTube, they'd work great. But if you transfer that the same to say Instagram stories, you won't get that.
Yeah, you lose out for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it also, I think from a content marketing perspective is, you know, people talk about repurposing content. That doesn't mean just taking your content and shoving it onto another platform. Right. Yeah. Like if you're, so we'll use, you know, Instagram IGTV or Instagram stories or Instagram video as an example, where you do have that 9x16 format. Yeah. But also things like you should always be using the subtitling, for example, but different elements will play well with Instagram stories because of the nature of stickers and how people interact with it and where you get engagement. Yep. And then
people also forget about being AODA compliant as well, because there are people that are watching your content that say can't hear it, or say they're visually they can't see it, but there are other ways that you can implement that, say captions on, say you place the podcast that you repurposed.
Yeah, for sure.
Thinking about that on different platforms, different people in your audience as well.
I think too, you know, when you're doing this research and stuff and seeing where you want to share your content, it's also kind of like the how people are going to engage with your content too. So a lot of the times, you know, when I'm thinking about a content strategy, I'm thinking about, okay, when someone sees my video on, say, Instagram, for example, are they going to have to fiddle with their phone because we have the dimensions wrong? Are they going to have to like switch their phone? You want to try and be as natural as possible to these platforms so that people aren't struggling to digest your content, because as soon as there is that little bit of friction that it's like, oh, I have to like turn on my side, watch my video like this, people are going to disengage quite frequently. So
and a lot of people view it as spam too. Like say if your video has a little bit of a glitch or it just doesn't format properly and people have to watch it in a weird screen, it'll come off as spam. People won't watch your video. They'll record it sometimes.
And I mean, it's not complicated. I think a lot of the times things like that happen because people overcomplicate the visual content that they're wanting to put onto their social platforms, right, Matej?
Exactly. And having structures in place as well. Like we have graphics that illustrate, do this for this platform, have these dimensions for this platform. Just having that ready and built out for like, say the team, when you're putting together a visual content marketing strategy, just having that, you know, extra thought put into it. So your audience isn't kind of having that struggle when they're looking through your content. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. So let's keep going.
So now we're going to be talking about, you know, defining this and kind of laying it all out and what kind of goes on behind the scenes when we're creating this content.
Oh, yeah. And in this as well, when you lay out your visual strategy for each channel and platform, do your research, do a thorough research, make a little graphic for yourself. Just make note for each specific platform. They might vary in tone and style, size, what your audience is looking for across each platform as well. Take that into account. And it also might be useful to lay out this plan in like a spreadsheet. So if you have a team, having it accessible to your team so they can go in, they know the message they want to send, they know what the graphic has to look like, and then you move on therefore.
I think that, you know, you touched on a really good point there about, you know, either it's a spreadsheet or something, but making your visual content accessible to your other team members is really important. Yes. Because as a PR professional, like I might know how to use Adobe and things like that very lightly, but not to the extent that you and Justin do. So it's important for me when you guys are creating content that it's in a place where I can find it so that I can use it, so that I'm not going to have to ask you for a piece of content that you already made or something like that.
Well, this is another thing. And I think this is important. We talk a lot about this with CTA libraries and communications guides and playbooks, is creating a library, a central repository, and then also organizing it thematically and also visually in the sense that, that there's some sort of continuity, or it makes sense, or it doesn't clash as well. And there's a lot of ways that you can do that. Your Instagram, for example, if you're designing your Instagram, can have one look, and TikTok would have obviously a completely different look and feel to it and a personality around it, so that you're not just using them as broadcast, you know, just spitting out content, right? So I think that's another way to go about that, is to actually organize things up, create your themes based on your personas and your customer journeys, and then doing research into looking what other influencers in your space, you know, what are they doing that's resonating as well, and that you can use that as inspiration for your own programs as well.
So after research, I think we more go towards, and I think that this is like the second most crucial step within this, is, you know, creating this visual kind of language workbench, and solidifying where you're going to be placing your content.
Yeah, like even making as simple as an Excel spreadsheet, put the content you've posted, or even go through it and be like, hey, how can I take this old dusty content, how can I fresh it up, add some spice, and how can I make it better? I'll give an example. Say, and I do it all the time, an infographic. We posted it to Pinterest. It did well. It's great information. Let's transfer it over to some more platforms. So I'll say Facebook. Carousels do very well on Facebook sometimes. I'll break it up into a carousel, place it on there for snackable content, or even just break it up into multiple ones too. That works. Just having those, just repurposing content. It's, if you're like a lone ranger, repurposing content is the way to go. But if you have like a bigger team, like you can start creating stuff as well. And then again, you don't have to produce entirely new stuff. Go through your old stuff. You'll find something.
Absolutely.
And you can plan to create extra stuff on the side as well, too.
Yeah. For sure. There's a couple of good resources. Again, just as you mentioned, Matei, if you're a you know, solopreneur or one-person marketing show, it can get a little overwhelming. One of my favorites, and maybe you can pull it up, Matt, is Death to the Stock Photo. And this, they actually got picked up. I can't remember who bought them, but one of the big ones.
Yeah, they have amazing imagery, well thought.
So Death to Stock, they feature photographers that do series, and each one of the photographers, the photography is much more natural than, you know, your typical kind of cheesy stock. So it's very inexpensive. I think it's $15 a month. And you can actually go and there you go. So for a starter, for $12 a month, right? You can pull a ton of really good photography as well from that. And Matei, I think there was another one that you had mentioned that you find some good stuff in as well.
Yeah, there's one that I come back to. I've been using it since I was in my getting my degree, actually. Paxos is a great one. They have, you can also go in and look at it for the same photographers that have the same style and look. That's a great free resource. Free Pick is a great one as well. They have iconography as well that you can use, and that you can use to your, if you want to use illustration, if that's your way, graphic wise, you can go that way as well.
For sure. Awesome. Before we move on, we do have some really good comments here in the chat.
Yeah, I just threw up Stacey's.
Nice. Yeah. So Stacey says that consistency is key no matter the channel. When users see your brand, they should be able to recognize who you are, the emotion that you're trying to create. And she does say that Matei does a great job of this. So congrats, Matei. And then we have one, you touched upon infographics really briefly earlier on. So I want to pull up April's too. April says that infographics are a great way to unite your content with a visual aspect. Infographics are also great for repurposing in other areas of your content marketing strategy. She gives the example of using an infographic into a video.
Exactly. So, yeah. We actually started doing that on our social platform too, and it's been gaining traction. And it's just content that you've already made and put the work in on, and you just make it into something else. It's pretty easy, straightforward.
Absolutely. So now we kind of, so far we've talked about, you know, doing the research, why it's important, using your channels, creating this content library to kind of build up these visuals. Let's talk about testing and evaluating.
Sure. Yeah, I just want to pull one thing in here.
Yeah, go for it.
In the private chat there, Matt.
Yep.
So I've just been pulling, while we're talking, a few of Fer Machado's posts and their mood board.
Okay, one second here. So my tabs are kind of glitching out here for us. One second.
Grace.
It's Google Chrome eating all of my hard-earned RAM.
Okay, that's this is the first one. That's our mood board. You can just click on the image and it'll go full screen now.
Okay, yep.
There you go. So this is where they started with Burger King's. Well, their rebrand went back to their nostalgia, right? Mm-hmm. And as you can see here in this design process, this mood board, and if you're I mean, I'm not a formally trained designer, but I've been exposed to them my entire life. So, but in mood boards, it's a lot more than just a logo and a bunch of photos. What images are you trying to evoke? Mm-hmm. And from this research, a really interesting thread by Farrah Machado is they really wanted to evoke the nostalgic history of Burger King, because that does exist from the 60s and 70s. And also that fast food doesn't have to be bad food. So there's a couple more here.
Yeah. And also when you look at it, it invokes an emotion and you can't deny it. And that emotion again, that's the thing you're looking for when you're creating your strategy as well. You have to have an emotion behind it. You can't slap a stock photography up and call it a day.
Yeah,
a little more for it. Yeah,
for sure. There's a few more here that I'll put in.
Results are great.
So this one here, this one's pretty.
Now is it a B? Tell me when you can see the B and when you can see the K.
That's awesome.
I saw the K first, but now I can see the B.
Yeah,
that is the peak of logo design.
Yeah,
that's what it's all about right there. That's awesome.
The goal.
I got a lot of positive feedback on Twitter.
Yeah, this is very reminiscent of the glory days of fast food.
Yes.
But look at this. I really like this. This is kind of them, I guess, going through and creating it and seeing what they can use.
I see the root beer, like that filter. I see the rollerblades coming out to the car.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, it is coming back with curbside pickup, so.
And then there's just one more.
Yep.
Let me see here.
So while creating your go for it.
Oh wow, look at this one.
Okay.
I'm trying to zoom in on this one here.
Wow.
There we go.
So now this is the whole background, but you can see that from the marketing and communications, they're wanting to go throwback nostalgic, so they're making something that looks like it was written in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And you can actually read it. It's actually really good.
This is amazing.
Really well done, right? And like looking at the swooshes of the 90s, like
yes.
It's when you're creating like a new like brand or updating your brand, there's always that story that goes under that underlines the transition, right? The reasoning. And for a lot of brands, they're not as big as Burger King, so a written story of why they changed it might not be necessary. But I think this really ties in really nicely, and it's
looks like a reliability. It's showing, look, we have history. We have a good burger. We're still kicking. We're still around. That's the feeling I get from it. And it's really well put together.
For sure.
Then the last link in that private chat there, Matt.
Yep.
Shows how Burger King is accepting and embracing.
This is awesome.
That's amazing.
You can just click either one of those. But this is their brand in Minecraft. So they've gotten some Minecrafters to go and create Burger King restaurants in plant. But again, they're not so tied to the fact that it's violating brand guidelines, because it fits in a Minecraft perspective, just to use kind of a more way out there one. Although KFC is doing their gamers, they have their gaming initiative where they're teaming up with streamers because they want to, you're at home, you're ordering Uber, you're a gamer, you're hungry, you're going to eat. So just a few examples there of how a larger brand is really refining that content strategy and thinking. Now, even if you're a solopreneur, you can think along those same lines, right? Using that level of investment that Burger King is able to make because they spent millions of dollars on it. And you can adapt that and have it inspire your own content strategy as well.
Yeah, and it can easily lead to refining your strategy. Again, with Burger King, you see they saw what people were looking for and they had an idea and they went for it. They refined their strategy. Mm-hmm. And then I think it's really great that they did it. I'm really happy they did, because for me, Burger King fell off the map. But now that they've changed their logo,
They also did that with changing their menu and menu items as well, which Domino's has done very successfully.
For sure. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about, in there we saw a couple of kind of snippets of like the Burger King brand guidelines, Matei, but why don't you kind of just explain them a little bit more for us?
So my brand guidelines, I know I said previously that there are more so guidelines. Yes, they are, but when you do follow them, it keeps your brand consistent. A lot of people are scared of it. They think that you can throw something together. People will know it's us. It has our logo on it. Not necessarily. You have to convey a tone, an emotion with certain colors, and even a font will do that for you. A palette, different versions of your logo, just so, again, you can post it on multiple platforms. But guidelines, as a resource too, with the team, if you work with the team too, having a place where they can go, making sure they're sticking to the guidelines. Again, taking those extra steps in your strategy.
For sure. One thing I will say before, I know Dan has a couple things to say in here before he jumps in, but one thing that's really good that if you have a really good brand guideline, you sometimes don't even need your logo in there. And a really great example of this is Doritos had a marketing campaign a while. It's actually probably still on, but it's their commercial without actually showing their logo. But they're showing all of the guidelines that they have, like their colors that they use, even like the color of like the dust that gets on your fingers, the famous Doritos dust, right? Yeah. So things like that really resonate. And, you know, if you do it nicely enough, if you're doing it, you know, representing your brand really nicely and consistently, people start to recognize you without your stuff. And I would argue that even some of the honeypot stuff that we do, if we put out, you know, a graphic or something on social and it doesn't have the honeypot logo or something, I feel like people would still recognize that as a honeypot branded. Template.
And if you've reached that level where you can post a video with just certain textures and colors, you've reached the peak. You're like God level status with brand guys.
You're God tier. Yep.
Yeah, I think the other thing too is to give yourself variation and flexibility. And if you're developing brand guidelines for your visual content strategy, is actually, you know, add sections for Instagram, for Facebook, for Pinterest, for Twitter, for TikTok, to use them as inspirations for consistency. Right. And keep refining that. Like your visual content strategy is a living, breathing thing, and it should be creative and it should be engaging. And one of my favorite people to follow on social is Gary Vee, but not even so much for the content, which I think is great content, but I'll always watch what they're doing over there. And when I say there, because he's got a big team of people that work on all of his Gary Vaynerchuk accounts, his Gary Vee accounts. And I believe they were hiring and they were calling them creative producers. That's actually, they didn't say social media manager. They didn't say videographer. They kind of did away with all of those terms and titles because it puts you in a box to say, well, I'm not a designer. Well, you're a creative producer. And they have a lot of latitude to come up with different types of content that looks very different, but works on those channels. And it obviously has got a massive social media following. So that's another thing to keep in mind with your own brand and how you're trying to build it is to have a lot of flexibility. Don't have narrow tunnel vision and what may work on Instagram may not work on Facebook specifically because, you know, Instagram is a visual social network, just like Pinterest is.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you have a so-called like banger on Twitter, don't expect it to be a banger on Facebook as soon as you put it on, right? And we've experienced that firsthand as well. And, you know, that's why it's important to make sure that your content is tailored specifically to the platform.
And don't try to get bangers. Like, try to engage with people. I mean, it's
true. If it happens, it happens. Like, it's good. But
yeah,
it's,
you want that consistent engagement with people for sure. All right, let's keep going. I don't know how far we've...
So we're going to be talking about KPIs now. So, you know, how can you track the successfulness of your visual designs and things that you put on social?
Yeah. So KPIs are always important in terms of being able to give yourself an indicator. And again, that's the most important word in key performance indicator is that you're not necessarily now some of these are obviously website KPIs. There are all sorts of KPIs, and obviously on social, the number one are the shares. Number two is the engagement, so comments and reactions, and then the reactions themselves. But you also have video watch time on Facebook and on YouTube, and any video platform will show you watch times as well. What you really want to do is look at your key performance indicators as a way to gauge the success of your visual content efforts, regardless of platform. Yeah. And you just want to make sure that you're consistently looking at that. And actually, as you go through this process, and possibly a little bit further down the line, also understand that brand awareness is extremely important. And if you're looking at your analytics from a key performance indicator standpoint, your directly typed or your branded searches, right, are extremely, that's a big indicator of your brand awareness. Are people actually using your brand name to find you? Because these are reinforcing efforts and they're very difficult to track. And, you know, it's the old omni-channel. I want to track everything. Yeah. Sometimes they're impossible to track. Sometimes you have to infer information over data. And that's the most important part about your KPIs is, are you able to distill information from those numbers rather than just strictly looking at the number? Like, what does that number mean? Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So for you.
For sure. And while we're kind of on that topic, we have this quick little slide here. I don't think we have to go too in depth in it, but before we were going on, Matej, you were talking about, you know, the art of attraction and how this is a legitimate kind of design theory and practice that you guys use whenever you're making content.
Yeah. So this is kind of like a checklist that some designers, they go through. I was taught this way when I got my degree, but the layout. Start from the bare bone. Even if you have to draw a wireframe, having a consistent layout for all of your content, from like your website, even down to your like Instagram feed, have a consistent look and layout to attract that audience that you're trying to show your content to. And the colors as well. Being consistent, the more they see your colors with your logo, they're going to get that association. That's why, again, Doritos was able to make that commercial without their actual logo. They just put their colors in it, right? And then the topography, it speaks volumes. People, they kind of overlook it. They want the stock photography. But if you put a little effort in that topography, it can add to the image, whether it's like it's more of an angry tone or more of like, here, click this tone. You know what I mean?
Images,
death to the stock photography kind of thing. Also, keep in mind your customer's journey, the navigation of it as well. It can look pretty, but if it's a terrible navigation through just for them to get them to the checkout, chances are they're going to nab right out of there. They're gonna be gone in a few seconds. And also the texture as well. People don't really take that into account, but in image, texture just play a big role alongside color as well. And you can invoke a lot of emotion with it as well. That kind of ties with topography too.
So this is great. I think we're going to have to skip ahead. Why don't we jump over no to the infographics section? That's okay. We can post this and people can download this if they want to get the full presentation. But this one's these are some really good examples of, I guess these are social infographics, right?
Yes, these are social. And there are other versions where it's the full wrap of information on one infographic, but that's just because it optimizes better on Pinterest and it performs much better. Again, it's just a collection of information. This is really great for, again, repurposing content. It's a great way of just going in, breaking up old content from, say, a video or a blog, put some icons, make it look pretty with your logo, and you'll have a bunch of traction and engagement as well with your strategy.
You can see quite clearly from this that it varies. It's very unique in terms of the brand because it's intended for social. So it can be a little bit more fun and it can be a little bit different as well.
Yeah, for sure. It breathes life into your profiles and your content too, which is really great. And I mean, they don't even have to be as complicated as some of the ones that you saw above, right? These are some really high images that you guys do regularly, right?
Yeah, just once in a while, add a little spunk or personality to your brand. Don't be uptight all the time. You have to show some slip up or some personality that you have. Because again, your customer wants to feel like your brand is human. It speaks to them, right? So again, using high quality images, even if it's simple, like that graphic, be kind, save a bro. It's like a saying a lot of people use. Throw it together in a graphic quickly and put it up there. It's it's a great way to incorporate into your strategy as well.
And for and for those of you that may not be, you know, design savvy, there's a couple of things you can do. Number one, you can always find designers out in the world. There's a lot of them. That's one. But two is also kind of standardizing on something like Canva, for example. Canva is a unicorn. They keep adding more and more and more and more different templates and design elements. They have a design school that you can go through that will let you, you know, learn how to put a layout together. And they give you the templates that you can use, and you just make it consistent. So that things like some of these, like Benny BB8 here, I believe Justin made him years ago. I can't remember. It must have been 5-6 years ago now. But we've used Benny BB8 all over the place. Just as a joke on May the 4th.
Yeah, people love him.
All right. Chad is saying infographics are a great fun way, a great and fun way to tell a story, and they're easier to digest than the wall of text. Absolutely.
For sure.
100%.
Already memes. So even though, you know, these are memes, they're still branded. Okay, I will say that these are Honeypot branded ones, which is you can see that. But, you know, it also makes them viral, and it kind of adds that fun and kind of pop culture to your brand.
You know, and another great way to build brand awareness is if you develop memes and animated GIFs, which I would highly recommend for anybody because they are so popular and engaging. You can then go to Giphy Cat and Giphy, and you can start to upload those images there.
There's one that's trending now, that Bernie Sanders one. What is that about?
What is that about?
I saw it.
He was at the inauguration, and he was sitting all by himself in like this like giant gray-green parka with mitts.
And it was all Vermont clothes that from his constituents that he was wearing.
He was against a gray background, so it's the perfect
just perfect
for the meme. There's a few really good ones. I'll pull those up. But you can actually create traffic and interest in your content. Another one, if you're a photographer, is to put your photos up on free stock photography sites. And just look for attribution. If you're looking to push yourself, you know, if you've got that kind of content, you can push that out. It's a great way to build goodwill and to build brand awareness, for sure.
Absolutely, for sure. And then as we continue on, we even have quotes as well. Now, we've been using these for quite some time, and I think that they're important because, you know, it creates a separation between the types of content that we post. I know we post nice and fun content. We post content that kind of gives marketing insights, which is kind of more of the quote segment that we have.
And also knowing when to post. Knowing when to post is a good one, especially for quotes. Quotes have become, I don't know, they've skyrocketed in popularity during this, you know, the coronavirus, the situation. A lot of people are at home, they're thinking a lot more. And quotes, books, things they can read to get their mind off things, you know? This started gaining traction. We repurposed it. Put it there in your feed.
For sure. We have a couple of comments here that I'll show. Justin says that BBB8 will live forever. April says that she's really digging the Bernie memes right now, which is good. And then May says that memes are a great way to connect with the audience at humorous and personal levels as well.
Exactly.
And 100% agree with that, for sure.
Well, and jumping on the, you know, when these things trend for your brand, you know, there's lots of different ways that you can work these memes in. I just threw one of the images that was a pretty good takeoff on Bernie.
I'll bring it up.
And it's also the most unexpected brands that are doing it. It's so funny.
Well, it's you know, and it's kind of the popularity of the Wendy's of the world, right? On Twitter,
how they've done all that. Oh, it won't even, can't even show it. There we go.
There it goes. And you see it?
Can you find him? Where is he?
This is that famous building where these crazy people are just sitting on a beam, but they put Bernie there.
This is amazing.
You
should definitely do one.
There's this one here that I like. This one's see if I show this. I think we're near the end of our presentation too, so
I was thinking it because I messaged Justin right when I saw it, and I was like, "Did you see this? Should we do something with this?"
this one's my favorite one from The Big Lebowski. Yeah. The bowling alley. Yeah. So it's just, you know, it's fun. I mean, none of these are real marketing examples, but we can kind of see that, you know, if you adapt this type of humor and this type of, you know, energy within your profile, and you show that you're keeping up with current events, it breathes life into your brand. Yeah, right.
I even saw a brand it's the most unlikely brand to be related to this kind of meme, where it's like a home decor. Mm-hmm. It's like a room, and they photoshopped him sitting on one of their pieces of furniture. And it's the funniest thing. They related it to their brand and people engaged it. I saw it this morning. It was great.
Yeah. Sure. Totally.
We got to wrap it up here.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up. Let's just jump to slide 21. I just wanted to point out one thing as well.
Yep. Sure.
Is that, you know, if you're a more conservative business, but a really good thing to do in your visual content strategy, and again, Canva can produce this really, really easily, and they've got all of the elements to help you do this, is dropping nuggets of knowledge as it relates to your specific product or service. Mm-hmm. Is a way to and do it consistently is a simple and easy and effective way to show that you have domain knowledge, you know the market, you know the audience. Mm-hmm. And if you've got the right types of followers and you've created the right type of community, this kind of content is a nice way to help engage with your audience on a regular basis in an easy way. And again, you know, we went all the way from memes and kind of circling right back here, but these graphs and charts are a great way to illustrate information for you.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, they don't even need to be social specific, right? Like the times that attract the one on the far right, that could be something that you include in, you know, your homepage. If people are looking for really quick information, just finding the right appropriate place to place these is really important as well. Don't feel limited.
Exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So just to kind of conclude, we do have some wrap up where we're talking about, you know, visuals are obviously vital to online success. Mateo, do you want to kind of close this one out too? I feel like this is your slide.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, just like, again, it's just overviewing that the visuals, they're very, very vital to online success, obviously. And it's, again, a picture's worth a thousand words. But again, it also increases your engagement overall, your visual content, putting that, you know, that those relevant images, again, because they get 94% more views than content, or rather than content. And also 94%, it adequates to double the views, and also on all topics as well. And then again, you see there 55% of users who view a page spend less than 15 seconds. Like, I emphasize it all the time. Like myself, mine's even less. I'll look at something 3 seconds, I can tell if I like it or not. But that's just because I look at graphics every single day. But when you get in the mind and the head of your customer, it's really important to take this into account.
Awesome.
All right. So we just a couple of comments to wrap it up. Ben Miller says, can't go over BBB8. A great way to promote your brand without it feeling salesy. And you know what? That was really quick. I remember talking to Justin about it. Like I said, it's years ago. Yeah. And we whipped it up really fast for one of our live events that we were having on May the 4th, and it just worked out.
I remember
really well.
During my internship, I was going through the dry file, and I saw it, and I was like, what is this? We have a Star Wars version of BB-8? What is this? Why would not use it? Yeah, it was great.
Yvonne's saying there can also be a purpose behind the quotes. You can create segments like Monday Motivation where your viewers can expect every week. Yep, especially on Twitter. Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Justin wraps it up with people will put Bernie anywhere but the White House.
I feel that.
Too true. Yeah,
that's good. Right. Love it.
That was perfect way to end.
Well, the funny thing is, you know, for everything that Bernie says, if he were a Canadian politician, he'd be like right in the center.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, yeah,
he's saying anything. For a Canadian anyways.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, you know, there's a lot to pack in here, and by all means, we encourage everyone to go through the presentation. There's a couple slides that, you know, that had a little bit more kind of in-depth information, but, you know, Matei gave us some really great insights towards, you know, the importance of visual design, where to get started, you know, with your research, where you're going to be posting it, where is it appropriate, how to evolve over time. Some really great examples. So definitely some good stuff to unpack this episode.
All right, everybody. Well, enjoy the weekend.
Yeah.
Snowy and cold.
If you're in our
area. Pardon me. All right, everybody. Have a great weekend. We will see you next week on episode 165 of Live at the Hive, Digital Marketing from the Trenches.
See you then. Bye.